first of all, what did you find in common among these people that you talked with?
Well, all of these people were different. And by the way, these were people we went out and tracked down. They were not provided to us by the government or by insurance companies or anyone else. They had more not in common than in common. All of their circumstances were different. What it ultimately turned out to be, though, was that in every case, they would either be able to buy insurance cheaper once you take tax subsidies into account through the Affordable Care Act or perhaps through Insure Oklahoma, or they would have access to policies for the first time where they have not had access before.
There was quite a range in the price that they might pay, and a lot of this is preliminary, and we're waiting for October 1st and final details. But there was a wide range. What were some of the main reasons why the price ranges for what someone might pay so significant?
Now, what we did is we got income information, family size information, smoking status, working situations for all of these people. And then we used a calculator that's been developed by the Kaiser Family Foundation to calculate what their premium amounts were likely to be after tax credits under the Affordable Care Act. And they ranged anywhere from $26 a month up to a high with these five people of $307 a month. It depends on their income. It depends on their working situation. It depends on whether they have any kind of employer insurance available to them. One of the surprising things, though, Kurt, was that the way ACA has been set up, smokers pay a huge penalty for smoking. And typically, with these people at least, if they were a smoker, it added anywhere from $130 to $150 a month to the cost of their insurance.
And most of the people that you interviewed, their incomes really weren't all that great. So that would be a significant hit.
Their incomes ranged from $18,000 a year, this is family income, at the low end, to $65,000 a year at the high end. So yes, $150 a month difference for somebody making $20,000 a year, that's big.
There were a few of the people you interviewed who actually had access to insurance through their employers but chose not to do that. Did you get any indication from your reporting whether they're more likely to now have health insurance because of the Affordable Care Act, or is that still going to be a barrier?
Well, here's the thing. You can't purchase insurance through the ACA marketplace if you are eligible for what is called affordable and adequate employer coverage. Now, in one case here, an employee, he's a server at a restaurant, could buy a policy through his employer, but the cost was high enough that it appears it wouldn't pass that affordable and adequate test. In his case, he could buy a policy through ACA, and perhaps will. Although, frankly, a couple of these people were people who hadn't checked out any of these options, had not been too troubled by the fact they didn't have insurance. Whether they'll participate or not, I couldn't predict.
What's the difference between a family or an individual and how they access the Affordable Care Act?
Well, the way this is set up, and in fact, with very many of these families, and by the way, out of these five examples, four of them involved kids in the house. Three of them were married couples. One was a single mother. The other was a single person with no kids. In many cases, the kids were covered by what's called Sooner Care, which is Oklahoma's version of Medicaid. But the way the rules are written in Oklahoma, children can get coverage at much higher income levels than parents. So it's going to be very typical for a mother, a father, or perhaps a mother and a father to go in and apply for insurance, even though their kids won't necessarily be on that program. They'll be covered elsewhere. It's possible to go in just as yourself without your spouse. You can get coverage for you and your spouse. You can get coverage for your whole family.
And in terms of what you found that you want to look at further, what were there any questions that remained in your mind as a reporter that you're looking at thinking, I think we may need to do a follow-up on this?
Well, the smoking penalty intrigues me because it seems to be a case of sort of conflicting public policy goals. We want to create economic disincentives for smoking. At the same time, we want or at least the government wants as many people as possible to obtain insurance through this or other programs. If insurance becomes too expensive for the smokers, they may decide, forget it, I'll just keep the money and take my chances.
That is something that has been faced by several of these families that you talked about. In fact, I think all of them at in some form or another, it really was a what am I going to pay for kind of situation.
Absolutely. Also, Kurt, another thing that I think is worth checking into, we found that in at least two of these cases, the people involved might be better off using a program called Insure Oklahoma, which is a separate program. It's run by the state, than they would using the Affordable Care Act exchange. So I think that bears looking into as well.
We just recently had an extension of Insure Oklahoma, so that will be around at least through 2014, but it's not guaranteed that what happens after that.
That's right. The federal and state governments have been squabbling over that program, and Oklahoma's gotten a one-year reprieve. Whether it will stick around, it's not clear, but it works differently, and the bottom line for individual Oklahomans can be quite different under the two programs.
Warren Veith with Oklahoma Watch, thank you so much for coming in. And I want to tell everyone that we will be sure to link to several of those websites and that calculator that you mentioned at our website, kgou.org. Thank you.
Thank you, Kurt.